About the first of these, the Buddhist religion, I have already told you. The second, namely Judaism, was founded, as it were, precisely on the teaching of Saint Moses, the name given to one of the genuine sacred individuals who in his turn was intentionally actualized from above. This sacred individual was actualized in the planetary body of a boy who arose in the country now called Egypt, shortly after my fourth sojourn on the surface of this planet of yours. This sacred individual, now called Saint Moses, accomplished a great deal for them and left them many such exact and corresponding indications for ordinary existence that if they had adopted and applied them more or less normally, then indeed all the consequences of the properties of the maleficent Morgan Kundebuffer might have gradually been decrystallized, and even the predisposition for new crystallizations might have been destroyed. But to the common misfortune of all the three-centered beings of our great universe, whatever their degree of reason, his followers, as was already proper to them, began to mix into all the counsels and indications of this normality-loving Saint Moses, such a mass of what may be called spices, that the saintly author himself could not, with the best will in the world, have recognized anything of his own in this hodgepodge. Your favorites of the very first generation after the contemporaries of Saint Moses evidently found it profitable for their special aims to insert into his religious teaching almost the entire fantastic doctrine which I have already described in my tale about the three-brained beings of the second group on the continent of Ashark, now called Asia, and which was invented by the king named Konyuchyun, later a saint, for the purpose of saving his subjects from the pernicious habit of chewing the seeds of the poppy. After Saint Moses, that sacred individual was sent from above, who laid the foundations of the religion which your contemporary favorites call Christianity. That sacred individual, whom they call Jesus Christ, was actualized in the planetary body of a boy of the race of terrestrial three-brained beings, which Saint Moses, by command from above, chose from among the beings inhabiting the country of Egypt and led to the land of Canaan. After this Jesus, there were actualized, also on the continent of Asia, two other sacred individuals on whose teachings the beings there founded two of the enumerated religions that still exist to this day. One of these two sacred individuals was Saint Muhammad, who appeared among the Arabs, and the other Saint Lama, who appeared among the beings dwelling in the country named Tibet. At the present time, the first of the five religious teachings I mentioned, namely Buddhism, is found chiefly among the beings dwelling in the country of India, the former Pearl Land, and in the countries called China and Japan. The followers of the second religious teaching, namely Judaism, are now scattered over the whole planet. In this place in my tales, it will do no harm to explain the reason why the followers of the teaching of this Moses are so widely scattered, as this will help you understand one peculiar property of the Morgan Kundebuffer, the one which evokes the feeling called envy. And you will also understand how each property of this organ, no matter how small, may be the cause of very serious consequences. The point is that the beings who professed the teachings of this Moses had organized themselves very well in their community at that time, and therefore this property called envy began to be crystallized in relation to them in the psyche of the beings of all the other communities of that period. And so strongly was this property crystallized in them that even after many of their centuries had passed, when the Jewish community had already ceased to be organized and powerful and had come to an end, as occurs there to all powerful communities according to law, this attitude of the beings of other communities toward the descendants of the Jewish community not only did not change, but in most of your favorites, the feeling of envy toward them even became organic. The third religion, founded on the teaching of Jesus Christ, soon spread so widely in its original form that almost a third of all the three-centered beings of this planet became its followers. But before long, they also began to mistreat this religious teaching based on resplendent love and transformed it into something equally resplendent. But now, as our dear Mullah Nasr Eddin says, into a resplendent Terra Sakabura from the Kesbaji fairy tale. Furthermore, it turned out that the followers of this great religious teaching split up, on account of some unimportant external details, into various sects and were no longer called just Christians, as were the first followers of this teaching, but Orthodox, Zevordox, Ipsilodox, Hamilodox, and various other cognomens also ending in dox. And into this teaching of truth and verity, they also began, for various egoistic and political reasons, to mix fragments taken from other religious teachings already existing there. Fragments that not only had nothing in common with the teaching of Jesus, but sometimes even flatly contradicted the truths revealed by this divine teacher. They mixed into it a great deal from the teaching of Saint Moses, which by that time had been thoroughly distorted. And much later, during the period that contemporary beings there call the Middle Ages, the so-called fathers of the church inserted into this Christian religion nearly the whole of that fantastic doctrine invented long ago in the city of Babylon by those learned beings belonging to the school of the dualists, about which I have already told you. The fathers of the church in the Middle Ages probably concocted this mixture for the benefit of their own shops and the shops of their assistants, because of the famous paradise and hell contained in that doctrine. So at the present time, in place of the teaching of the divine teacher Jesus Christ, which revealed the power of the all-lovingness and all-forgivingness of our Creator, suffering for beings, a teaching now exists that our Creator torments the souls of his followers. Dear and kind grandfather, explain to me, please, what is meant by fathers of the church, asked Hasim. They give the name of fathers of the church to those beings there who become professional dignitaries of the highest rank of any religious teaching. After this laconic reply, Beelzebub continued, by the way, I should tell you here that the teaching of Jesus Christ was preserved unchanged among a rather small group of terrestrial beings, and passing from generation to generation has even come down to the present day in its original form. This small group of terrestrial beings is called the Brotherhood of the Essenes. The members of this brotherhood first succeeded in introducing the teaching of this divine teacher into their own being existence, and then in transmitting it to later generations as a very good means of freeing themselves from the consequences of the properties of the organ Kundebuffer. The fourth great religion existing there today arose several centuries after the Christian religion and was founded on the teaching of the full of hope, Saint Muhammad. At first it spread there widely and might eventually have become a hearth of hope and reconciliation for all of them if these strange beings had not also stirred this up into a hodgepodge. On the one hand, its followers mixed into it some of the fantastic theories of the Babylonian dualists, and on the other, the fathers of the church of this religion, in this case called Islamic sheikhs, invented and added to it many things about the blessings of that famous paradise supposedly existing in the other world. Blessings such as could never have entered the head of the chief governor of purgatory, his all-quarters maintainer, the arch-cherub Helgamachos, even if he had deliberately tried to imagine them. Although the followers of this religion also split up from the very first into many different sects and subsects, which, by the way, continue to exist even till now, they nevertheless all subscribe to one or the other of its two independent schools, as they are called, which were formed at the time of its arising. These two schools of the Islamic religion are called there Sunnism and Shiism. It is interesting to note that the psychic hatred of each other formed in the beings belonging to these two independent branches of one and the same religion has now, on account of their frequent clashes, been completely transformed into organic hatred. During recent centuries, the beings of certain European communities have greatly contributed by their intrigues to this peculiar transformation of that strange being function. And they make use of these intrigues again and again to increase the animosity between the followers of these two independent schools of one and the same religion, so that they should never unite. For if this were to happen, there might soon be an end of those European communities. The point is that nearly half of the three-brain beings there are followers of this Islamic teaching, and only as long as this hatred prevails among them will they constitute no serious threat of reciprocal destruction to European communities. And hence, the power possessors of certain freshly baked communities that have accidentally arisen always rub their hands and rejoice when sparks fly between these Sunnis and Shiites, because they may then count on a long and secure existence for themselves. Now, as regards the fifth teaching, the teaching of the sacred individual called Saint Lama, who was also a genuine messenger from our endlessness, this teaching was spread only among those three brain beings there, who, because of their geographical location, scarcely ever came in contact with other beings of this ill-starred planet, and in consequence were scarcely affected by the abnormally established conditions of ordinary being existence there. One part of this teaching was also soon changed and even destroyed by its followers. But the other part entered more or less into the existence of this little group of beings and began to produce the expected results. Thanks to this, the hope grew even among the highest sacred individuals that this teaching, created by the saintly labors of Saint Lama, might one day accomplish what had become a necessity in the megalocosmos for everything that exists. But your favorites did not allow this to happen, and by their military expedition or Anglo-Tibetan war, without so much as a thought, they knocked this possibility soundly on the head. I will tell you a little later about this military expedition. And I shall tell you about it because I myself happen to be an eyewitness of all those lamentable events there. But first I must tell you how they now wish, of course with the help of the swivel-eyed general, to wipe out even the remnants of the two religions still existing on your planet, that although changed beyond recognition, have nevertheless, during the last centuries, made the ordinary existence of your favorites, though very remotely, yet all the same a tiny bit more like the existence of the three-brained beings breeding on the other planets of our great universe. And for certain of them, have rendered their fantastically haphazard existence somewhat more tolerable in the objective sense. Namely, I shall describe how there is actually now proceeding the final dispatch of two of the five great religions I mentioned, which were founded, though from bits here and there, nevertheless on the teachings of genuine messengers of our endlessness himself, the one on the teaching of Saint Jesus, and the other on the teaching of Saint Muhammad. I repeat that these great religions were founded on bits taken here and there from the teachings of two genuine messengers of his endlessness. And although the three-brained beings of former centuries stripped both these teachings, as the Russian Sidor stripped his goats, nevertheless, it was owing to these teachings that some of them, even down to the present time, believed in something and hoped for something whereby their desolate existence was made a little more bearable.